And now, for your holiday enjoyment, a special Thanksgiving program.
Hello and welcome to this special Thanksgiving program. I'm Jerry Stewart. Today, all across America, literally millions upon millions of very thankful people are celebrating Thanksgiving, much like the pilgrims did that first Thanksgiving almost 400 years ago. We're eating lots of delicious food, enjoying wonderful fellowship with friends and family, and we are counting our blessings. And why shouldn't we? I believe that we Americans are truly the most blessed people in the world. But my first real recollection of Thanksgiving was Miss Harris's first grade elementary class. She always had us kids doing something special, and that short week before the Thanksgiving holiday, she had us fashion costumes to make us look like the pilgrims. With lots of construction paper and Crayolas and way too much of that white paste glue, we made ourselves those tall black hats, the buckled shoes. Some kids made feathers and headdresses to look like Indians. Then, with help from our moms, Miss Harris helped us lay out a table of food and decorations, much like the table at that first Thanksgiving. And then, that last day of school before the holiday, as we all sat around that table dressed up like pilgrims and Indians, we sang a simple song I'll never forget. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. And then, Miss Harris, my first grade teacher, told us a story of a wonderful blessing. The story started with a man by the name of Christopher Columbus. As a boy, Christopher was a dreamer, and he longed to be an explorer. Early on as a young man, he worked as a map maker, and he was convinced that there were strange and distant lands to the west still to be discovered. So Christopher Columbus invested all of his monies into a plan to discover these new lands. But for 8 long years, Columbus went from one royal court to the other, asking for the financial support necessary for ships and supplies. But he was rejected by all. But what most today don't know is that Christopher Columbus believed that his dream to explore was not just a dream, it was his destiny. He believed that God had chosen him to carry the light of Christ into the darkness of undiscovered heathen lands. Even his own name, Christopher, literally meant Christ bearer. And Columbus took this as a sign of his mission, to spread the story of Christ to all nations. And because of his strong faith and a higher calling, Columbus would not quit. And finally, the King and Queen of Spain did sponsor his voyage, and Columbus discovered America. And on that now famous voyage in 1492, on every island he discovered, Columbus and his men erected large wooden crosses, which Columbus said were a token of Jesus Christ his Lord, and in honor of the Christian faith. Little did Christopher Columbus know that only about 100 years later, a small band of Christian people would come to America searching for a new land and a new start without fear of religious persecution. These were the people we now know as the Pilgrims. But just who were the Pilgrims? Well, you see, in the early 1600s in England, the Queen of England was seen to be the head of the church. But there were some who chose to separate themselves from that belief. They believed that no one could be the head of the church except Jesus Christ himself. And for their refusal to recognize the Queen as the head of the church, these separatists were persecuted. Some were even arrested, and they were finally driven out of England. So for a while, they lived in Holland. But for all that while, this small band of Christian people longed for a new place, a place where they could openly live for Christ without fear of persecution. They had heard of this new land, America, but at that time, most who came to America never returned alive. If the long voyage by sea did not kill those going to America, they would die at the hands of hostile Indians, disease, or starvation. It was very dangerous. But this small band of people we know as pilgrims fasted and prayed, asking God for His will. They became convinced God wanted them to go to America, but their trip to America was so hard. When they set off on August the 5th, 1620, little did they know that their voyage would be delayed by storms and a leaking ship. So by the time they reached America, it was already winter time, and they had eaten most all of their food supplies. But did the pilgrims quit? Did they decide to just give up and go back home? No. These 102 pilgrims continued to pray for God's guidance as their little ship, the Mayflower, was driven far north of their intended destination. They finally landed in an area we now know as Cape Cod. One pilgrim wrote, "Being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, we fell upon our knees and blessed the God of heaven, who has brought us over the vast and furious sea." You see, although these pilgrims had everything working against them, little food, no shelter, with a hard winter coming, they believed that they were blessed. The pilgrims were truly amazing people. But in December, as the pilgrims worked to build their shelters, the people began to get sick. The lack of nourishing food, sleeping on the cold, damp ground, their sheer exhaustion, it was just too much for their bodies to endure. Pneumonia and consumption spread throughout their little colony, and the pilgrims began to die. And by the time the sickness had passed, 47 men, women, and children, almost one half, had died. But unbelievably, those who were still alive became even closer together and closer to God. And they survived. But just how did they survive? Well, an Indian came into their camp. At first, they were all terrified. Most all reports coming back from America told stories of hostile Indians killing and stealing food. But this Indian, his name was Squanto. This Indian was kind. And to their surprise, he spoke English, and he told them an amazing story, that he had been a member of an Indian tribe, a tribe who hated the white man so much that they murdered every settler who came into their area. But years before, as a young boy, Squanto had been captured by explorers and taken back to England. And while he was in England, he was taught to speak English, and for a while, he lived in a monastery. Well, finally, after years in England, he was allowed to come back to his home and his tribe. But when he arrived back to America, he couldn't find his family. You see, the entire tribe had died from some mysterious illness. And that had only been 6 months before. He was so sad and so lost that he wanted to die himself. But as Squanto told his story, the pilgrims began to understand why God had brought their tiny ship to this area. There were no hostile Indians anywhere around. But as Squanto talked with these pilgrims, he began to see the simple faith and simple lives of these people, and he felt a great compassion to help them, to save them. Squanto now felt he had some reason to live. So, with Squanto's help, the pilgrims did survive. He taught them to fish, to stalk deer, to find herbs good to eat and for medicine, and he taught them how to plant corn the Indian way. It was hard, but finally, after their second planting season, the pilgrims had such an abundance of food that they decided to have a wonderful feast of thanksgiving and gratitude to God for saving them. They sent out the word. All were invited to partake in their wonderful feast of Thanksgiving. So, as we kids sat around that table, all dressed like pilgrims and Indians, and Miss Harris, our first grade teacher, told the story of that first Thanksgiving, in my mind, I could see a wonderful picture of thankful people, just like the song, gathering together to ask the Lord's blessing. And on today's program, I'm going to tell some powerful stories of these blessings. We all know the story of Helen Keller, but what do we know of one woman, Ann Sullivan, who was Helen Keller's teacher? This woman, Ann Sullivan, had a troubled and terrible childhood. But did her hardship as a child actually bring about a powerful blessing to Helen Keller and millions of other people around the world? The story of Anne Sullivan is amazing. And can hardships and difficulties of life lead us to wonderful blessings? You'll hear the story of one group of people, all severely handicapped in some way, a people who used their hardship to bless so many others, including me. And one of our most popular American songs, God Bless America, do you know how it came to be written and why songwriter Irving Berlin was even inspired to write it? So gather up your family for some wonderful stories of hope and faith and thanksgiving and blessings. I'm Jerry Stewart. I'll be back with more of this special Thanksgiving Day program after these messages.
Hello, this is Kelly Stewart. Jerry and I want to thank you for listening today. This may be your first time to hear Jerry tell these stories, or maybe you're one of his first listeners over 20 years ago. Either way, it is important to find stories about America and share these stories with others. Why? To encourage us all to do our own part and keep America as a good and great nation. It is so important that we use these special holidays in our America to remember, to honor, and to keep clear our vision for a better America. That's what this Thanksgiving program today is all about, not just to entertain us, but to use stories from the past to lead and direct us as we go forward.
And what's our job? To spread these stories that are being told with our families, our schools, our churches. So today, we have something special to offer. Kelly, what do we have for our listeners today?
We invite you to call our office at 817-995-6965. When you call, you can ask about today's special program offer Jerry and I have put together just for our listeners to help you and your family as we all work together and pray for our America. You can also go to our website at www.jerrystewartusa.com. That number again, 817-995-6965, or online at www.jerrystewartusa.com. Let's all do our own part, and let's get back to praying for America. Let's make today a special start, a day of prayer, a day of continuing to pray for our America. Our America is worth saving. God bless you all.
And just what should we be praying for in this Thanksgiving? A return back to God in America.
The Well Connect end-of-the-year blowout sale is here. A factory-direct do-it-yourself install package is now available to our listeners. Call 231-420-8320 to find out how you can buy a Well Connect geothermal unit at a DIY discounted price. Install it yourself and qualify for a 30% federal income tax credit off your 2023 taxes. Additionally, you'll receive a cash rebate from your local electric co-op company. Well Connect uses your well water to do 80% to 90% of heating your home this winter, 100% air conditioning your home next summer, just by calling 231-420-8320. Again, save money, get a 30% federal income tax credit before the end of this year, and start saving money every month while enjoying total year-round comfort. Again, call 231-420-8320. Do it today.
Little Travers Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Travers Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
My name is Todd Spalliver. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. One of the reasons that I am running is because our current public education system is failing our children. I support real, common sense policies and approaches to education and the safety of our children. All parents have a right to decide on their children's education, not the government or unions. I will fight to ensure that. After all, they are our most precious resources we have, and they are worth the fight. Vote for me, Todd Spalliver, electsmalenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Spalliver for state rep.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hello and welcome back to this special Thanksgiving program. I'm Jerry Stewart. And speaking of Thanksgiving, I'd like to take a moment here and thank you for joining me today.
It's hard to believe it was 25 years ago today that my first Thanksgiving Day program aired on just two stations. And today, we are on over 400 stations airing all across America. And just how did it happen?
It's because you continued to faithfully listen and respond to these programs, and I thank you. Now, I was recently doing some research on popular American music, and I came across a musical fact and a story that is absolutely amazing. It's a story about a young man, a composer, and the one of over 3,000 songs he composed in his long and successful music career. And this one song he wrote is still today the single most popular song of all times in America. Listen to this story. It starts with a poor Jewish immigrant family living in Russia and a son, Israel Isidore Bellini, born to them on May the 11th, 1888. His mother and father had heard about this wonderful nation, America, and when Isidore was only five, they immigrated to America to find their own American dream. But sadly, only 3 years after coming to America, Isidore's father died, and his family was left with the real possibility of starving to death. So Isidore had to work just to survive. At only 8 years old, he took any job he could find. He started off selling newspapers and finally ended up doing street performances, singing, dancing. He finally landed a job in a restaurant as a singing waiter. And one day, he was asked by his boss, the restaurant owner, to write a song for that cafe. It seemed that the rival cafe had written a song and had it published, and his boss needed his own song for his restaurant. So Isidore Bellini, now a young man, wrote a song, and it soon was published. And for writing that song, Isidore was paid 37 cents. But something happened which changed his life forever. On the published sheet music, they misspelled his name. And from that moment on, in the musical publishing world, he was forever known not as Israel Isidore Bellini, but by his misspelled name on his first published song, I, Berlin. Yes, this poor Jewish immigrant who almost starved to death on the streets of New York City became the famous composer Irving Berlin. And he began to work composing songs for the musical stage and Broadway. Well, in 1917, after a number of successful musicals, now at the age of 29, he staged a musical revue for an army base in New York. It was a wonderful, patriotic revue and tribute to our men fighting in World War I, and it was intended to lift the soldiers' spirits. But here's where a very strange twist to Irving Berlin's story came. He had written one song for that musical revue, a highly patriotic song, but he decided at the last moment not to use it. So the sheet music for this song was put away in a trunk with his other unpublished songs, where it stayed for over 20 years. Little did he know that it would someday be his most popular song written, and that it would be a song that would literally lift the failing spirits of a nation in trouble. Well, 20 years passed. It was 1938. By now, Irving Berlin was one of the most successful and respected songwriters in America. But he never forgot where he had come from and just how very blessed he was to live in such a wonderful country, America. Well, Berlin was approached by a man by the name of Ted Collins, the manager of one of the most popular singers of that time, Miss Kate Smith. And when she sang a song, when she put her whole heart into it, no one forgot it. Now, what they wanted Berlin to do was to write a new patriotic song for Kate Smith to sing on her weekly radio program. Well, believe it or not, Irving Berlin, this man who had written over 3,000 songs, tried to write a special song for Miss Smith, but he got nowhere. And he was about to quit, but then he remembered that patriotic song he had written 20 years before. That song he had put away seemingly forever, never to be used. He went to his old trunk of rejected songs, and there it was. And just what was the song? God Bless America. And when Kate Smith sang that song on her radio program in 1938, the phone lines were jammed with calls from listeners, so touched, so moved, that they had to have a copy of that song. The song was published. It sold millions upon millions of copies. And for almost 3 years after, each time Kate Smith performed anywhere, she was asked to sing that song. And each time, she was given a standing ovation by audiences moved to tears by her presentation and the song's simple but powerful words. But to me, the most powerful part of the story is this. This song, God Bless America, written by Irving Berlin, was not just a statement. It was a prayer. Irving Berlin was asking God to bless America, land that he loved, to stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. And since that song was written, America has seen many dark days. And each time a dark day has come, Americans all across this great land have turned to this song as an inspiration, as a comfort, as a prayer.